What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles. You're listening to the Two-Man Power Trip.
Oh, my God. This is Joey Styles, and you're listening to the Two-Man Power Trip podcast.
This is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
This is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to Two-Man Power Trip.
This is Jimmy Van, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people I'm my brothers and sisters. Don't you dare miss John and Chad.
Hey, everybody out there. This is the franchise Shane Douglas. Remember me?
Well, guys, it's great to be on the show again. I appreciate you asking me back. So you said you were going to pinch yourself. I didn't know it was that kind of show now. I mean, if you guys are in the privacy of your own home, if you want to do these things.
Good. How you doing, Chad? Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
Hey, man. What's up, guys? This is Homicide.
Oh, that's my homie. Homicide with a big homie club.
Yeah, that would be it.
Hey, this is David Penzer, and this is the Two-Man Power Trip of Wrestling.
Well, thank you, thank you. Hear me, fear me.
I don't do many wrestling shows anymore, probably because I'm a bit ignorant. You guys probably know 10 times more than I do.
Look, Mean Gene, I can't beat me. I'm the greatest of all time. And I would say that. And every kid, they knew they could kick the out of me.
Great talking to you guys. It's been your pleasure.
They've worked in and around the wrestling business. They've studied thousands of hours of wrestling, and now they bring to you the greatest legends, Hall of Famers, creative minds, and both current and future stars of pro wrestling. They are Primetime Pod and Chad, the Two-Man Power Trip of Wrestling.
That's right. And that's right. Like I always say, everybody's got a price.
Oh, he got a price! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Come WrestleMania, you tell DiBiase, how do you spell man?
At WrestleMania, DiBiase, you spell man. V-I-R-G-I-L.
Damn it!
DiBiase's down.
Now's the time, Virgil. Now's the time to suck it up.
The referee's up.
Come on.
The referee is up to about 7 or 8 now.
That's how Virgil looks when he applies the
shot. Oh, this.
No, no.
Yeah! 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 Virgil's the one with the gold now.
Now, Virgil never beat the man.
I don't think I've ever been happier for a man in my entire life. Virgil, you get to rip it.
I got carried away. What was it you were saying, Boots?
The next time you see that belt, it'll probably be hanging from the mirror of a 1979 caddy driven by Virgil.
We have our new $1 million champion
in
the form of Virgil. What a victory here in Madison Square Garden.
And now for some TMPT business. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Two Man Power Trip and at Wrestling Pal. Please visit our website, TMPTOfWrestling.com. That is TMPTOfWrestling.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes. While you're on iTunes, check out the feed for some legendary episodes featuring the living legend himself, Bruno Sammartino, the late great American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, Rey Mysterio Jr., Jerry McDivitt, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, AJ Styles, and so many others. Also, while you're surfing the web, check out WrestlingInc.com. Yes, that is WrestlingInc.com. They are the number one wrestling news source out there, so please check them out. Also, while on the internet, go to ProWrestlingTees.com. Yes, ProWrestlingTees.com is your superstore if you are a super fan. And you can please check out our page while you're there. You can check out Tito Santana, Paul Orndorff, Coco Beware, Magnum TA, Buff Bagwell, and so many others. Follow along with the two-man power trip of wrestling in 2017 as we hit the road and we come to a town near you. April 22nd, we hit Philadelphia, Pennsylvania at the Icons Collectors Fest. Then, May 19th and May 20th, we hit the Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Expo in Richmond, Virginia. Then, follow us to New Jersey as we hit Legends of the Ring in Monroe. So please follow along with the two-man power trip of wrestling in 2017, because you never know where we may land. And now, without any further ado, he is a former AWA Southern Tag Team Champion. He is a former WWF Million Dollar Champion. He is a WWF Superstar, a former NWO member. He is a wrestling icon. He is Virgil. Please enjoy.
I'm here, Virgil. How you doing tonight, bud?
Just laying back, huh?
Yeah, just hanging out, man. This is great. We appreciate you, you know, syncing up. We put you in one of those buckets that we have. We call it the bucket list. So it's really awesome to have you
list.
On tonight.
Ain't that some shit?
Well, I mean, the thing with us, and I mean, we'll casually get into it here. But, you know, the thing with us is we love to talk to the guys from our era. So, obviously, our era is what we still recognize as the era. So, obviously, that's the bucket list. So, it's really awesome to have you on. I hope you're just as happy as we are.
Hey, man, we have the best era in the history of wrestling, okay? The best era. Because I went from one great gimmick, okay, to another super gimmick, okay? So I went from Superman to Batman. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Me and Ted came in. We came in the period. We did a whole $1 million man thing. Okay. Okay, that was the Batman episode, and then we came back to a new episode, which was the Superman episode. It was the NWO, the New World Order. Okay. That took wrestling to a whole different level. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and just I want to just be a little formal before we continue, though. I just want to say that joining us on the line tonight, this is always key to the guests' listening ability here, is the one and only, and it's not mistaken, you hear it in the voice, joining us for it's going to be our 250th episode is the one and only Virgil. Thank you so much for joining us. So let's get into this, the two eras. The 80s, the 90s, one guy was there for both parts of the boom, the beginning part in the 80s, and then he watched it take off like another rocket in the 90s, and that is Virgil. But Virgil, why is it that we do love that era so much and we look back on it more than we would watch anything going on right now on Monday Night Raw?
Hey, man, we took off like the 747, okay? Okay, well, we shot off the rocket, but nothing was better than the first episode. It was Raw, the WWF program, held on Monday night. Okay, and then on WCW held a program, Nitro, on Monday night. Now, how can Monday Night Football compete with that? It couldn't. Monday Night Football made an offer to the WWF and to WCW. Can you please, please go to another night other than Monday night? And they both shot the NFL down. They said, nope, we're going to run Monday night. Okay, that's how powerful that Raw was getting and Nitro was getting. I mean, what could the NFL, couldn't battle with it, man. People in the ages of, let's see, about 6 years old to 106 years old were watching and taping wrestling. You know that?
Oh, yeah. Taping it, watching it over and over again, and still, you know, like I said, watching it over and over again. We love it. We can't get enough of it. But it's, you know, it's something that we grew up with everybody. We watched everybody come from Vince's TV over to WCW, and then by the time everybody hit WCW, you know, wrestling was cool again. So the good guys were the villains were cool, but I think Virgil kind of always fit right in the middle. Virgil or Vincent, he was always in the middle of the cool storylines, what was going on. But when you did make that jump, let's just start with the NWO. What was going through your head when you showed up on Monday Nitro for the first time?
Hey, when I remember it was Hulk. It was Hulk's action. Hulk was the main man in WCW, okay? He brought all the characters in, okay? He brought Ted and myself in. We were like number fifth and sixth. No, let me take that back. We were number fourth and fifth coming in because Hulk was number one, okay? Nash was number two. Hall was number three. Ted DiBiase was number four. I was number five, and X-Pac was number six, okay? We made a whole change to the whole WCW program. We brought a thing in called the New World Order on Nitro. People were going cuckoo off of it. They were going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs off of it, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Right or wrong. Okay, we brought a whole new thing in wrestling, just like we brought to the WCW, and it was called the New World Order. We took one of their greatest stars they had then. Remember Sting? Am I correct? We had Sting hanging in the rafters, like he was like an eagle flying high over the whole program, checking out the whole program. You know what I mean? And Sting was one of the big men in WCW. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're right.
And then we brought in all the other greats that was here. The legendary Ric Flair, okay? We brought our announcers came in. The announcers came from the WWF to WCW. There's no announcers no better than Bobby Heenan. There's no announcers better than Gene Okerlund. Where did they end up at? WCW. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're right. But it's weird that that came to the South when that's all the Northern, you know, the New York territory, New York this, New York that, but coming to the South, you know, did the Southern fans, did they take to the NWO right off the bat? Like, hey, I'm from New Jersey. I love the NWO because these are the guys that I grew up watching.
Hey, they love the NWO so much, man. I mean, I remember we went up to the new shows. They ate it up. We went to Halifax, Nova Scotia to do shows. Guess what? They chewed it up and swallowed like it was the hottest hot sausage you ever ate in your life. Okay, we went to Seattle. We went all the way down to Dallas, Texas. And they were loving it. We went to San Francisco. We went to Hawaii, and they chewed it up. And guess what? We went all the way over to London, England, and they were eating it like it was a hot dog on the 4th of July. See where I'm coming from?
I do. I do.
Okay. All right. And people loved it. They loved it so much, they want more, more, more. Man, they used to be there with two TVs, one with WWF on it, saying WWF Raw, the other one saying WCW Nitro. People were watching so much, the NFL was watching it, Major League Baseball was watching it, and guess what? Major League Football was watching it. I have football players come to me, hey man, first, we be watching you in the WWF, or we be watching you in WCW, and we be in there getting our ankles taped, our wrist taped, our elbows, getting massages, getting ready for the games, and we be watching the WWF or WCW. I heard the same thing from basketball players, okay? And guess what? I heard the same thing from baseball players.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. When you put that shirt on, that black and white shirt, I mean, it's like it transformed everybody.
The shirt that, for us, okay, like the top six, like Hogan, Hall, Nash, Ted, myself, X-Pac, man, we put that shirt on. The people went berserk. They love it. But the still today, when that shirt's on, say if I wear that shirt and I'm going through an airport, or I got a sweatshirt with the NWO on, and you're going through an airport, you're walking down the street, and guys, he's like peeping on the shirt saying, yo, New World Order. Oh, shit, yeah, man. You mind if I get a picture with you, man? That was magical. That was like wearing a Super Bowl jersey on there, you mean? From like whoever gonna win this year's Super Bowl, like New England or like Atlanta. You're having the Super Bowl shirt on and you're wearing it around town. They see it, man, it brought back memories to it. People still today, man, they copy that shirt. I mean, you see copies of it. I seen one, a guy had a copy of it. I was in Chicago. It had whatever his little thing was. I think it was a restaurant he had. It was really good food. It was RGF. And it looked just like the NWO shirt. It was in black and white, but it said R, really, G, F. You know, RGF. It was really good food, okay? But it looked like the NWO shirt. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
Yeah. And people, everyone tried to just steal the patterns. And even, we used to do the two sweep thing with the fingers up, you know, the two index fingers down and the two outer fingers up like that, and your finger wrapping with the finger that's down, your thumb is wrapping onto it. People do that, man. We were like the Bruno Mars going on stage, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we sucked it to people, and people loved it, and we just sucked it on in and kept on giving more, 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 and they loved it. We should have been at the Super Bowl halftime show, and I bet if we got over so big, it would have made history.
Oh my God! Can you imagine that? The NWO taking on like Sting and Luger in the middle of the halftime show, you know, in the mid '90s. But you know, you talk about the Hulkster, and obviously he's made a huge impact on changing WCW. But what did it mean to have Hogan on your side back through the WWF but into WCW? Like, what did it mean to have Hogan being one of those guys that wanted to bring you in to WCW?
Oh man, Hulk was one of the greatest guys out, man. Such a good friend and such a cool guy, man. Such a cool guy. And when he made the offer to bring Ted and myself in, man, I was doing backflips. I said, man, let's roll with it. Let's go with it. I'm ready to go. You know what I mean? And he's such a great leader, man. He just shows you how you just feel the electricity coming off him. And you were just like an extension cord. You just shake it and shake, rattle, and roll. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
He brings it right in, man, and it just rotates right into you, you know? I mean, I wish we could have did a halftime entertainment. I bet we would have rocked it way better than Bruno Mars. What's the other one's name? They're out of England. I'm trying to think. There's one group out of England. Well, let's say the other group, the Beatles. Okay, we would have been just like the Beatles. Can't beat that, can you?
Hell no.
No.
You think Beyonce put her show on? This is the NWO. We would have put a show on, and we would have had 150,000 people, or 115,000, whatever the stadium the seat, and about 300 million worldwide saying, New World Order. Too sweet for life. You see where I'm coming from?
Oh, yeah.
They would have been loving us. People wouldn't even know. I mean, little kids would have been still in the mama's womb, would have been saying, coming out, the first word they would have said, it would have been goo goo or mommy or dad dad. It would have been NWO. That is it. Not New World Baby, New World Order. You see more coming?
Yes.
We brought a whole different line. I bet they were like high school and junior high students and even grade school students were coming up doing the NWO signs in school. You know what I mean? We made a
Definitely.
Big difference. Not only to like from parents, I mean all the way down to kids coming up in from kindergarten, the first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, all the way to high school, all the way to college. We should have been the teachers in the game. Because we taught them. We taught them in Raw, and we taught them in WCW.
And obviously, you know, with the NWO, you made a transition from the WF to WCW. You were Virgil, the bodyguard.
Yep.
You were Vincent, the head of NWO security. And obviously, you said Bischoff and Hogan, you know, they bring you in. But what was it like? Was it an adjustment period going from WWF to WCW at that point and kind of being, you know, becoming the quote-unquote Vincent?
I mean, the name Virgil was trademarked by the WWF or WWE, okay? The name Vincent was in with WCW. So why not? You keep on rolling, man. Keep on going. It's just like being traded from the Pittsburgh Steelers, okay? New York Giants, okay, or being traded from New York Giants to San Francisco 49ers, okay? You just got to keep on, just pick up the sticks and keep on moving, you know what I mean? You got to keep on rolling. What are you supposed to lay back and break your tears down and cry? It's being like traded from Team A to Team B, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm, yes.
You got to steal.
Did you mind
steal,
not the... Did you mind not wrestling as often? I mean, you wrestled Starrcade 97, obviously, in World War III, and sporadically here and there, but did you mind kind of that bodyguard role, not wrestling as often?
I mean, it made no difference, man. Like, you're really learning everything, all the aspects of everything in there, man. So when you do get in the ring, you're ready to rumble in the jungle. You know what I'm talking about? Because just many people dislike you by being the bodyguard as you can be in the ring. Okay? And you can put a stern look on these people's faces and look at them, and they... You can bring the real nastiness out of them. You can make them say words that they didn't mean to say. It just came out their mouth, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
They can look at you and say, oh, I hate that. I hate that mother. But deep inside them, they say, man, I really kind of like him a little bit. He kept that thing about him, you mean? So I know how to rock a crowd, man. And I could do it in WWF. And then when I came to WCW, it was just even more than just rock them a whole different way. And when you rock them a different way, they come out a different way. I mean, we were down, like, in different towns that the WWF didn't go to, okay? We went to all them towns with WCW, okay? They already had a lock-in all over Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, okay? Okay, but now we're taking them to a whole different action. we're going to the state of Washington, the state of California, okay, the state of Arizona, the state of Nevada, the state of Montana, okay? We're going to a whole new level now. And even going to the state of Texas, you mean? We were in Houston, Texas, Dallas, Texas, and we put the NW fans up. And, man, you ought to see the Dallas Cowboys down there. When we went down there, man, they were like not the Hook'em Horns no more. It's just two sweet signs. You know what I'm talking about?
Hmm.
Yeah? So, you see, we made a big difference. We made a big difference in Dallas Cowboys, you know what I mean? The American team, okay? Or we should be, the NWO should have been called the American Dream. See where I'm at?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of the American Dream, though, you know, the Virgil character, obviously they say is, you know, Virgil Runnels, like Dusty Rhodes' real name. Is that the truth? Is that where the Virgil character spawned from? Is it from Virgil?
I didn't know where the character came from originally, and I didn't care. Okay, when you got a character to portray or a character to be, you be that character and you be the best of your ability to be that character, okay? And by doing that, you don't care where it came from, okay? You got to do it your best, okay? And you got to make that character rock the world, and it rocked. You mean? And every time you came and did a character, you do it better and better and better and better, where you're the top professional in your sport. That's where I look at it.
And you were involved in a lot of main events. Obviously, Ted was in a couple of main events. You were in there with Andre, you know, in their corner. Was that kind of a huge deal to you to be a part of, like, a SummerSlam main event and be in Ted's corner for WrestleMania and Andre's corner and so on and so forth?
Hey, I loved it. I loved it. Man, I was made to be main event, okay? I was made to be in the number one actions where you're supposed to be. Like, I loved it, bro. I came up that way. You mean? So why not be in main events? Why not be the number one head knockers everywhere? You know what I'm talking about? To open up the show or to close the show, okay? I like more closing the show when you come out and you sell out Wembley Stadium in London, England, or you sell out Madison Square Garden in New York, or you sell out the Miami Arena in Miami, Florida, or you sell out New Orleans, the Superdome. That's what gets bigger than that.
And obviously, you know, you're feud. I mean, obviously, so many people remember you with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, as his bodyguard. You know, they remember the money, the flaunting it, the throwing it, the putting it down people's throats. But I remember so fondly you turning Royal Rumble 91, turning on DiBiase, nailing him with that Million Dollar Belt, getting a huge pop. You just kind of relive that moment a little bit of the face turn that you had.
Everyone has a price for Virgil. You know what I mean? I loved it because we built it up so good, man. So right. I mean, it was a building of 7 years, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that turn of the Royal Rumble 91, the crowd remembers it so much, man. The Million Dollar Belt and the feud over the Million Dollar Belt, that was just such a great, memorable moment.
I mean, I still today can go to New York and first team people run into me and say, hey, they come over to me, I can be eating in a restaurant in New York. No way. No, it can't be. Like, holy shit, it's him. Hey, brother, I still remember you 20 years later. Okay, that's 1991, okay? Okay, 20 years would have been 2011. That's 20 years, right? So right now would be 26 years, to be exact. And they still know it. They still know it. People still say, man. And even if right now, if these people are like, say, 37, for example, okay? They watched this action when they were 10 years old. And they still remember now they're 37, okay? Think that little kid watched him when he was 7, okay? Now that kid is 33. And they loved it. And you put a long-lasting impression on someone like that they remember, they never forget. And the first thing they do is tell their kids, right? Their kids say, oh, no, this was back when I was a kid watching it, okay? And their kids get, like, really, they want to see, like, what daddy or mommy talking about, okay? And they go back to the WWE Network, you know what I'm talking about? And they
yes.
pull up and watch it. Yeah. So that's why the WWE Network gets so many hits, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that golden era, I'm sure a ton of people watch that.
They want to watch the golden era of wrestling. Okay, that was the best golden era where you had WCW going at WWF. Okay? I mean, that was a strong thing. People used to record one show or watch the other show and watch the other show. They may record WCW and watch WWF Raw live, or they may record WWF Raw and watch WCW live. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Look how many times they came on a week. And the main thing, you didn't see no Saturday Night Live on television, did you? Can you answer that? Did you?
Right.
Or did you see Saturday Night Main Event on NBC?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we made a big impression on a lot of people's lives.
Definitely. And, you know, it's funny. Look, you said the network and stuff, and I remember just not too long ago looking back, WrestleMania 7, you beat DiBiase, you know, by a count out. But then SummerSlam 91, I love watching that show. You beat DiBiase for the $1 million belt. Was that one of the big key moments in your career, you think?
Oh, man, that was a big pop. You did it in front of 29,810. That's Madison Square Garden sellout, okay? You did it the most lively city in the world, or just put in the United States. There's no city in the United States bigger than New York City, okay? New York City, you got 29,810 with the Madison Square Garden hold. You got all these people doing talking. Within that one day, you went into households of easy, okay? And then these people talk. Now you got up to 100 million people. You know what I'm talking? You see where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We brought your wings, and you watched it, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, oh, my God, yeah. That's one of my favorite shows to go back to and watch it. I remember Roddy Piper as your mentor going crazy as well. That added to it as well. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, the Pipe was something else, man. He's such a good friend, man. He was such a great teacher. I mean, he's really a great, great person. Robby Toombs, may God bless his soul, is one of the best guys in the world, man.
What is your current standing with WWE? Because I think I saw you not too long ago backstage with the club, Gallows and Anderson. Do you have a good current standing with WWE and WWE management?
I had to go up to, I think I was in Toronto, so I stopped on in. They were doing some kind of I don't know if it was a pay-per-view or a house show. It was up in Toronto, okay? So I stopped back in, and I went and seen some of the boys, you know, man?
Mm-hmm.
And I seen Gallows and the other gentleman, okay? Yeah, they used to love watching me, okay? So I told them the two guys are doing a hell of a job, you mean? I just, shook their hand and say, man, keep on, you mean? Because they're doing a good job. who's the world champion right now, okay?
John Cena.
Okay, no.
Yep,
no
John Cena.
Before, the one that John Cena beat for the belt, who was that?
Oh, AJ Styles.
Okay, yeah. I've been knowing AJ Styles for some years. You know, I told AJ he's doing a very good job, man. You know, keep on rolling, man.
And what are your thoughts on a guy like John Cena?
I think John is very good. He's very good, man. He's like the Hulk Hogan of his era, that era they're in right now, okay? He's like the Hulkster of that era, okay? Because I don't think no one can ever replace Hulk Hogan, you know what I mean?
Totally agree.
He just had that presence when he came, you know what I mean? He lit the whole arena up, okay? He lit the whole ring up. And when he wrestled with a guy, he brought the best out that guy, the best ability out that person, you mean? He used to shake that blonde hair, man, and do his thing, you mean? And they all rock with him, didn't they?
Time. He was definitely, I mean, for me and for Chad, I know he was definitely the best. But, you know, as we start to wind it down a bit here, something I was very curious of, obviously, you know, you've been around the business for a very long time. I mean, over 30 years in the wrestling business. You've been, obviously, started out with Offa and the Samoans. You've been in Memphis, obviously, WWF, WCW. Do you have a favorite match or maybe a couple of favorite matches? Would it be SummerSlam 91 or would it be something else?
I think it had to be 1991. SummerSlam. What can top that? There's nothing to top that, you know? And the only thing can maybe come close to that is when we went in and we had opening day down in NWO land in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm.
We went to the Georgia Dome, okay? And we presented the NWO to Atlanta, Georgia. Okay? And WCW went buck wild, didn't they?
Insane.
Or we had United States going buck wild. Which one?
Everyone, yeah.
Hey, we loved it, man. And I loved doing it. Like, if I had to go back, man, I'd do the same thing all over again, man. All over again.
Do you have a favorite opponent in your career? I feel like you and DiBiase had great chemistry. Would it be Ted or would it be maybe somebody else? Because I know you wrestled, obviously, the Macho Man, Jake Roberts, Hercules. I mean, you had so many good opponents. Hulk himself,
oh, man.
Obviously.
Man, they were all great and great opponents. But I think the greatest opponent where I learned so much from was the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Hmm.
Okay? And, he was a mentor. He was such a great teacher. And, man, he was a real good friend, man. You mean? He showed you what the wrestling business was all about, man. Okay? Because when you're with someone almost like 24/7, okay, you keep your mouth shut and you learn, okay? You know, you see where I'm coming from?
Yes.
And, you learn from the best, and they didn't come no better than Ted DiBiase, man. They didn't come no better at all.
He's obviously one of the best and obviously one of the all-time greats. But I was also curious, what is your kind of relationship, or over the years, what has your relationship been like with Vince?
With Vince? I guess, I mean, it's still pretty cool. I mean, like, I guess it's still okay with Vince, you mean? I mean, Vince is continuing on. He got a whole... He got a big corporation he's running, man, you mean? And I still it's called like a Legends contract where you got to be at like maybe WrestleMania or SummerSlam, you know, for the next 3 years, you know what I'm talking about? And you have to show up there and you know, you may have to show up at WrestleMania and you do a few meet and greets, you know what I'm talking about? So people,
yes, definitely. Yep.
You know, they still remember you, and they still love to see. And that's what people would like to talk about. They say, "Man, guess who's going to be at WrestleMania? Which one is it? Like 31 or 32? You know what I mean?" They said, guess who's going to be at WrestleMania 33? They said, guess who's going to be there? Like, they might be doing a meet and greet or doing an excess, you know, that type of thing, you know? And people love that, and their mother and fathers would say, oh, man, I watched that guy. I'm taking my kids here. I'm going to go see him, okay? You see where I'm coming from? When you're good, you're good. And when you're good, you're even better. And when you're even better, you make it better. And when you make it better, it's just too sweet.
Awesome, Virgil. Well, this has been a lot of fun. And please, before we wrap this up, share with the listeners of the Two-Man Power Trip where they can find anything and everything in the world of an icon, a guy who's really left his stamp on the business, the one and only Virgil.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And come see me on the real Virgil. Come see me and come hear me. You'll love it because everyone got a price for me.
Hey, Virgil, thank you very much. Hey, I just had a question for you. The GoFundMe,
yeah.
Is that you with the, you know, the million-dollar belt?
Yeah.
You want to become the million-dollar man? Is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
What is that all
my
about?
Agent.
That's so funny.
Oh, no, my agents made that. I got two agents up in Toronto, and they made that, you mean? So we give that out to, like, there are different charities up there, you mean?
Oh, okay.
I'm a pretty smooth guy. I'm down on the real side, you mean? So what kind of money do you get off of that? Like, you send it to, like, different charities, like maybe Make a Wish or something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do something good, something even comes back better for you.
Hmm. Now, is that you making up those awesome catchphrases, you know, like the fuck money and the meat sauce and, like, you know, you like being the Olive Garden hustler and stuff like that?
I go over a lot of them. I have an agent up in Toronto, and he sends me, like, and I look at him and I say, man, this is cool. This is good. Cool. All right, cool. I've had Olive Garden today, man, and a couple guys come to work and they say, holy shit, no way. Meat sauce mafia here, man. So, you mean, you kick it, you mean? I mean, it's all, like, good, wholesome stuff, you mean? I can't wait till they have a grand opening of an Olive Garden, you mean? They may want to bring me into a grand opening. They say they may have one, like, in San Francisco or Chicago. Well, I'd love to see a grand opening of an Olive Garden in New York City, you mean? Or Miami.
Hmm.
Or New Orleans, or San Francisco, or Honolulu, Hawaii, right?
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two-Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother.